G'day and kaya, and welcome to the Australians Teach English podcast, the podcast by language learners, with language learners, for language learners. My name is Glenn, and I'm the owner and director of the Australians Teach English Institute. And I've got two absolute legends with me today who are also going to help us to dispel some myths about some urban legends as well. So welcome to the show, Legend 1, Catherine, and Legend 2, Irma. Hello.
Hi.
G'day, Catherine. Can you tell our audience whereabouts you are from?
Yes, I'm from Colombia, and I've been in Australia for 4 years. I'm from Medellin, Colombia.
Excellent. And Irma, where are you from?
So I am from Mexico, and I've been in Australia 3 years.
All righty. And so to cut to the chase, to get to the point, so when we're talking about legends from Colombia and Mexico, what are the two biggest things that people will talk to you about straight away, or what will they think about when they hear that you are from Mexico or Colombia?
I think the most is safety or drugs. Yes.
In my country is drugs, and also that sometimes it is safe to travel there.
And are you related to Pablo Escobar? Is that the second question? Do you know him?
For in my case, I feel not good when someone asked me about that, because they didn't realize that maybe it's a little roots for me, because my country is more than that this is part of our history. But also, especially because I'm from Medellin, I've been suffering a lot, because that situation of in the past that we live with this guy. So yes.
Yeah, exactly. So anyone that will have watched the Netflix series or know anything about Pablo Escobar will be thinking, oh, well, Medellin, which was the place where he lived, wasn't it? That's where like everyone got killed, and everyone there is involved in the drug trade. Is that correct? Or is that just a legend? Is that just
okay? But sometimes it's because now it's like a business. When I was in my country in December, and I was in my city, of course. And now they have a tour. The name of the tour is Pablo Escobar tour, because it's more about money. It's not about why people from my city think about the guy, or why the guy did to everyone. No, now it's just more a business. Also they are selling paintings with the Pablo Escobar face. And and I'm not sure, but some years ago, it was he's a famous guy. His name is Wiz Khalifa. He's a singer from the United States. He was taking pictures of him in the Pablo Escobar's tomb. So for us, in my case, I think it's very disrespectful, and most of the time, because they don't know the history about my city, about my country. And
So it doesn't give anyone really a true indication of what life was or is actually like, really. And in your case, Emma, is that something similar in Mexico as well?
In my feelings is different, because if someone asked me shouldn't travel to Mexico, I always will say yes. Always I'm invited to travel, and don't be scared. Mexico is beautiful, it's like really colorful. But when someone told me I never been there because it's dangerous, and to be honest, I don't want to give my opinion, because already I feel they don't want to travel. And I say, yeah, I did. Because I feel like a cat is saying they are ignorant. They're not reading, they not travel, and they don't want to travel. And they just want to stay here at home. So when they say it's dangerous or have a lot of drugs, if I start to ask a little question to know about what is more thinking about drugs or Mexico, I will say, no, that's not true. But when they already, I saw this is strongly thinking is dangerous, I say,
yeah. Just because it's just easier than having an argument with them, probably.
Yeah.
So So when it, when you came to move to Australia, there was obviously, there are obviously some urban myths and legends that you would have heard come out said to you guys as well. I'm sure we know what they are. What were some of these legends that would come out?
I think about spiders. The spiders is everywhere, and spider webs, sharks.
Yeah. And what about you, Catherine? Did you hear the same? Did you hear the same stuff?
No, to be honest, I was watching many series from Australia when I was a child. So I was thinking, oh, maybe everything is beach and everyone is and everybody's hot. Surf everywhere. And I arrived in Sydney, and it was so different. And then I moved to here, and it's cold. And yeah, most of the time I have to wear with sweater.
Yeah.
One of the
common legends that I hear is, oh, you never have winter in Australia, do you? And you guys are in Melbourne at the moment. Yeah. It's the middle of summer and it's 10 degrees. So, you know,
exactly. You know,
that bust that legend out of the water. So then when you got here, what was the reality, Irma? Was it that there were spiders everywhere?
No. I never see like a big spider scare me, never. So I see a little spiders, but it's even, I have more bigger in Mexico. And
they're bigger in Mexico. That's what she said.
Yes.
Yeah.
And another thing that is interesting, I was thinking before, so we saw a lot of kangaroos around Australia. And when I come here, I think after 1 year, I meet my first kangaroo.
Yeah, I mean, it depends where you are. I mean, in Melbourne, you're not going to see kangaroos hopping down the street, but in some places in Australia, yes, you really are going to see kangaroos hopping down the street. It kind of depends where you are. Yep.
Mm.
What about you, Catherine? What was your experience with spiders when you first arrived?
No, to be honest, I have never seen a spider. Maybe a snake, and just once. That's it. No, to be honest, no. But dolphins, yes, whales, so, and huge
sharks.
Sharks, yes.
No. When I was living in Sydney, we went to travel with my brother-in-law and my sister, and we were, because the bats here are very huge. In my country, they are small, and here they are super huge. So I think for me, it was really impressive.
Yeah, at least our bugs here don't cause things like malaria or dengue fever and stuff like that. So we don't have to,
I know.
To worry about that. So was that actually surprising to you that there weren't just snakes and spiders everywhere where you went when you came to Australia? Was that something that shocked you?
Because I wasn't expecting that. So for me it was not a huge thing, but I know some people that they was thinking the same, that I'm going to see dangerous animals and these kind of things, but I wasn't thinking that, so no, I cannot think about that.
Yeah, what about you, Emma? Was that something that surprised you when you arrived here, that there weren't just spiders and snakes everywhere?
No, that's what I said. I never see spiders. They're really like dangerous. They're just tiny ones, but that's not scary. And yeah, also I would like you imagine Australia and it's beaches around and surfing and but not.
So I mean, okay, so we've done a good job of dispelling that, you know, there aren't snakes and spiders just everywhere you look. But there are some actual dangers in Australia that probably people don't really give much thought to. Are there any things that have struck you as dangerous when you arrived in Australia that you weren't really prepared for?
No, in my case, I think maybe not dangerous, but maybe I was impressed with the. There are many people that consume drugs here.
Okay, but you're from Colombia.
Yeah, this is the thing, because sometimes you think, and some people think that because we are from countries that most of the people think that we produce drugs and everywhere is drugs. But for me, it was a little strange that here there are many people that consume drugs and it's a huge problem. But especially because most of them have mental health problems.
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest things that I noticed when I started going overseas as an Australian was the amount that we drink here as well, and how dangerous it can be actually going to pubs and things here. Like, you just see fights all the time here in Australia at pubs for no apparent reason, but I don't think I ever saw one fight in all the time that I was in Argentina going to pubs and nightclubs and things. So I really don't understand what that is about, what the cultural aspect of that is. What about you, Emma? Is there something that struck you as dangerous when you first arrived, or that you thought was dangerous that you weren't expecting?
No. I saw also the many normally teenagers or young people consume like drugs. But not really. So I really feel safe here.
What about when you guys got to Melbourne? Were the trams dangerous? Crossing the road with the trams?
No, not at all. No. So
there you go. There you go.
No, well, in our country, it's different. You have to be careful everywhere.
I know. But one thing that people do really underestimate the danger of before they get to Australia and once they are here is the water. You were speaking about the beaches before and everyone surfs and everyone swims and things like this. But Australia is a very, very different culture to most other countries. And so it is not the animals that you have to worry about, the snakes, spiders, sharks, whatever, that will they won't kill you, but it's the water that will. There's probably more tourists that drown than any other thing that kills tourists or anything like that in Australia. It is the water. And then conversely from that is not having enough water. So people often go into very remote areas.
Okay.
Yeah. And they don't take enough water and they get dehydrated and they die. So wow. Yeah. So apart from the, you know, the legends that are out there, like the snakes and the giant spiders and blah, 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 there are some actual real dangers. I mean, unfortunately, one of my friends was killed by a crocodile. So, I mean, it does happen. But he was also doing something that he shouldn't have been doing. So as long as you take the precautions, then really you're pretty unlucky, to be honest. But you guys have some other projects going on that I want to talk to you about, and which is why I really brought you on this show to talk about legends. So who wants to talk about their project first?
Yes, Kathy.
Catherine can speak first.
Yes.
So okay. What is the apart from studying here, Catherine? What is your project here all about?
Okay, so. Because Irma and I, we were working in the same shop, in a Mexican shop in Queen Victoria Market. So, and also because both of us, we are an architect from our countries. So we have many things in common. And when I was in Colombia, when I was living there, I started my page on Instagram about history, architecture, and sorry, my cat. And art. So when I was here, I think I really wanted to have a friend who can I start my own business with her. When I was with Irma one day, we were talking about many things, and also we were doing a small tour guide in Melbourne with some friends. And Irma proposed me he want to have our own business together. And now Irma can continue, please. Can you continue?
Yeah. Please? Okay. Sure. So Yes, I was thinking of that moment. But I propose, I not propose about Kathy, because I think that Kathy say we are architects. So I not propose nothing about her, like create or imagine, like now we have. So just about like a photograph or even for architect projects. And she told me, oh no, Irma, I'm interested for something. I want to learn it. Architects from zero. I don't want to really, like, I don't feel really, how can I say?
Confident?
Yeah, confident now with my own skills in architecture. So I prefer another thing. And we started talking about what we would like to do, like tours around Melbourne, a photograph, or maybe try Latin food. And another time, Catherine proposing that show that we're working together doing workshops. And I think where is the start the idea? So Catherine have really good skills for drawing, and she saw what I like to do with the embossing art. And she also, and so I give the first idea to start the business. But she also gave me the first idea, like with the workshops, telling stories to relate with another people, what I'm thinking about Latin culture and just the broken the legends that someone thinking about also from Colombia, yeah, or from Mexico.
bloody legends. So storytelling. And this, yeah, this is why I chose this expression to talk about today, legends. So how is storytelling really important for you guys, and also dispelling, breaking down some of those myths and legends and whatnot that are not necessarily positive about Colombia and Mexico? What is the purpose of this?
Okay, we want to create something good, and especially because both of us are very creative. And we have many skills because we were studying architecture, but also we think that we are artists. So Irma started to run in some workshops in the Mexican shop. And I was doing, I was teaching Spanish and also art in some places in a community center, in a school. So I was thinking, oh, we have the knowledge, we have the skills. So maybe we can contribute with our community, but also because we were working in the Mexican shop, some people are really interested to know more about us because they like the culture, they like the language. Also, they like that Mexican, Chilean, Argentinian. So everyone from Latin America, we are very friendly. And most of the time we are positive. So I think we want to share with everyone these kind of things that maybe not everyone knows, but also our food, especially because I'm from Colombia, and I'm going to say that many people, they don't know, they know Colombia. Mm-hmm. They think, there are many people from Colombia, but they don't know anything about us. I was talking with a woman today, and I said, have you ever tried Colombian food? Because she told me that she has a neighbor from Colombia. And she told me, I am from Macedonia, and most of my food is spicy. It's like your food. And I say, my food is not spicy.
but this is the problem, though. If anything is like Latin food or anything like that, immediately it's Mexican.
Mexican. Yeah, that's why. But Colombia is not Mexico. So yeah, most of them get confused with my food.
And there's nothing that gets someone from Colombia or Argentina or Uruguay or Brazil more annoyed than calling them Mexican. That's always a fun trick.
And also I think it's a little disrespectful. One day one person told me, so you speak Mexican? And he said, I don't speak Mexican, I speak Spanish.
Hablo boludense.
Sí, hablo español. So I think sometimes for us, I'm not sure for Irma, but for me, because I'm Colombian. So it's good that people say, Colombia, there are many people here. Okay, good. But it's just superficial. So I think it's good for us. We can share things about us that they are really good. It's not just about drugs are, yeah. So maybe we have music.
So that was my next question. Well, okay. So obviously it makes us feel better when someone knows a little bit more about where we are from or our culture. But what is the benefit to the other people? What can they gain from that, from you guys sharing that knowledge?
Okay, Irma?
I think, I'm not sure, but I always will ask if they've been in Latin America, and they will start to give you where they feel connected with us or with the culture or where they like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think, yes.
So about developing connections is one positive thing.
Yeah, but also I think for me it's important because if I know my own history, I can inspire someone to know their own history as well. So, and also because there are many people that they are from Latin America and they have children, but the children don't speak English. Don't speak Spanish, and they don't know anything about our culture. So I think it's good also for us to share with people that maybe they have background from Latin America, but they are not really involved because they are living here and they have been studying in college or universities with Australians or with different people from different countries. So I think this is good for us, inspire people that they want to know more about them and also about their history and also about creativity, curiosity, because curiosity is the good way to try to find
different to know.
And explore.
So, learning about your own heritage and your own culture, if you are disconnected from that, is a way of increasing your own health and well-being. So this is a common aspect when it comes to language learning, that people feel like learning their heritage language or their grandparents' language or so on is a way of actually connecting with them, is actually feeling more in touch with their own selves. So actually internal well-being is a really important aspect of this. So you mentioned the workshops. So when and where are your workshops?
They will run in every Thursday at Neruda's restaurant. It's a Brunskit, and will we start at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
And in Melbourne?
Yes.
Yeah. And Neruda's in which suburb?
Restaurant. Brunskit.
Brunswick.
Yes.
It in a Mexican restaurant. Excellent.
No, they're from Chile.
Not a Mexican restaurant?
No.
Chilean restaurant.
Yeah.
Ah, so do they have like completos there as well?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's Chilean food, isn't it? Completo?
Completo?
It's like a really fancy hot dog, basically.
Okay. I just listened about a lot of empanadas.
They're not Chilean. you'll start a fight with someone if you call them Chilean.
Mm-hmm. I think they are.
They have some, because I don't know as well. They have empanada chilena. They have
Okay.
We have empanadas from Argentina, from Colombia, from Chile, from different countries. But he is from Chile, but the restaurant is from South America. So you can find empanadas chilenas, but most of the dishes are from Chile. Most of the food are from Chile.
Okay. All right. So we've spoken, a little bit about, negative legends and things like this so far in our show. But what are some positive legends, or maybe even some funny legends that we can think of from our own countries?
Maybe from my country, everyone thinks that because we're from Colombia, we dance everywhere and we are the best dancer. And sometimes it's funny because I have some friends that they don't know how to dance. So most of the people think,
Yeah, so sometimes these stereotypes, like when I arrived in Argentina and no one dances tango, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
It's sort of like a bit of a shock that actually, you know, you think that something is the case and it's actually not. But I actually did half a show about this Colombian legend. He's kind of a little bit infamous. So he was a rollerblader or something like this. And he celebrated too early in a world championship, and he lost the world championship. And it became a word of actually, you know, of celebrating too early. So he became a legend. In the episode about Stephen Bradbury in the Winter Olympics for Australia, he was the first person to win a gold medal in the Winter Olympics for Australia because everyone else fell over. So he became a legend. This is how we could also use this word as well. What about in Mexico? Yeah. So what about in Mexico, Emma? What are some positive, or who are some positive legends that you could think of?
I think they're really big legend. I'm not sure, but after maybe El Chapo, Frida Kahlo.
Yeah, Frida Kahlo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to say, I don't like Frida Kahlo art, but here in Australia, all the girls mostly love Frida.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I to be honest, I don't understand why.
She's just like. Such a personality. I think that's perhaps her story is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the only girl that have, like you say, incredible history. A lot of, and so that's why I really thinking like, so everybody thinking I will love, because when I say I don't like Frida, and I say, why? You shouldn't. You are Mexican. And I say, no, I don't like it. And I feel a little bit like maybe I shouldn't like it. And I start to look in a little bit her art. But I say, no, it's not connected with me.
But she is now a legend of, I guess you could say, Latin America in
Yeah,
she's a hero for all of Latin American women or Latin America.
I know. Generally, I know. Yeah, I really understand and I respect that. But just with the art, I don't really feel connect. And when someone said you shouldn't like her art, I say no. Yeah, that's one of the funny things also for me.
So recently, Argentina have gained a whole heap of mm-hmm. legends, but. But prior to the end of last year, who was their number one legend, do you think?
Messi? Argentina? Yes.
Messi.
Maradona.
Well, that's Messi now, but it was Maradona before. Yeah, exactly.
Maradona.
Yeah. So again, these are sort of, you know, what we would say legends. They are legends. Mm-hmm. In Australia, we've spoken about, you know, Stephen Bradbury. You have to find this story because it is hilarious. Here's what we would call a legend. But we also sort of have this mixture of historical stories as well and other legends. So in some indigenous tribes, they have mythical monsters like what we call the Bunyip, which is also another legend, and he would come and take, you know, misbehaving children away. These sort of legends as a way of storytelling. Mm-hmm. So is there a word that you can think of that translates in a similar manner to the way that we've used legends today?
I'm not sure if you, maybe in Colombia or in Mexico, we have kind of similar these things, but also La Madre Monte, La Patasola, La Llorona. And La Llorona is someone
famous.
Yes, she's very famous. I think Mexico, everywhere. And she loves her child. So she's crying the whole night for his child, for her child. And yeah, so I'm not really sure about that, but one of my uncles, when he was maybe a little drunk and also at midnight, he was walking to home, and he started to listen to the Llorona, and he was scared and he was running, and yeah, So because I was thinking, oh, he's going to make something bad for me and this kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So these are legends based on folk tales that over time take on a much more significant, bigger meaning. But is there any translation for the word legend?
Legenda?
Legenda would be the obvious one.
Yeah, a
mito. But what about if you are talking about, say, Frida Kahlo as a legend, as Lionel Messi, yes, like a legend?
Me neither.
Like a hero, I guess.
Yeah. Famosos? But for
like
us
a hero,
famosos.
Like a legendario.
Legendario?
I feel like a hero is someone you really
admire,
are proud about what they do before or did.
Héroe?
I've never heard anyone say to their friend, "Oh, you're a hero," or anything like, yeah, like it doesn't get used that way, does it?
Mm-hmm. No.
Like when you're speaking to a friend, like we might say this in Australia, like you guys are legends. Yeah. We wouldn't.
Tú eres, maybe in my country, qué persona tan tesa, como tesa, como berraca, como no. Admiro ese talento, maybe, but no, I don't say in my case because I don't like Frida Kahlo, so I don't believe she's a hero for me.
we're gonna get some hate mail message into us. You know that, don't you?
I don't need that.
so maybe this is your homework. You can think about, well, how would you actually use this in your own language?
Okay,
maybe.
Legend.
And then people can write into us and maybe give us some ideas, and even from different languages as well, in the different ways that we use this word in Australia, because it's not universal in the way that we use it. So we use legend in the way that you might speak to a friend, or also legend in terms of a story or a hero.
Yeah.
But in most of the English speaking world, a legend is a story or someone that has a story developed from a hero. So it doesn't have quite the same meaning as what it does in Australian English. So the people looking for you on Instagram and looking for more information about your projects, where can they find you?
No, we don't have like the real page for, because we name for group their Colibri Stories. But now we have a Kateri page and my page. And so I shouldn't give you my.
I will put it up for everyone listening to this episode. I'll put it up on the Instagram. But if there is anywhere that you would like people to find you for your project, then.
So we have our personal Instagram. So it's not personal because it's public, our name. So my name is Catherine, Taborda, and Catano. And another, because we don't have website at the moment, so because we are just starting with our workshops, and we are just thinking, oh, we are going to do it in another way. And Irma, can you share us how is your Instagram, please?
Yeah, it's IRDoc, HUETZELIN.
Excellent. 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 Yeah. Chevere. So you say that in Colombia, don't you?
Chevere, sí, todo el chévere. Tiempo.
Excellent. So it's been an absolute pleasure having you bloody legends on the show, talking to us about your stories and what positives we can actually bring out of reformulating these stories and sharing and making connections with different people across the world. So thank you very much, guys, for coming on.
Thank you.
It's much appreciated.
Thank you.
I appreciate your amazing job and also reading our pages, our message, and sharing our information.
That's called stalking, I believe. Well, there's a fine line between research and stalking. I look forward to hearing everybody's comments and feedback from this episode. From us here at the Australians Teach English Institute, the Australian Teach English podcast, the podcast by language learners, with language learners, for language learners. It's us saying goodbye. Nos vemos. Ciao.
For more information about the Australians Teach English Institute, go to australiansteachenglish.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Australians Teach English.